Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I am going to the Gospel of John chapter 16. John 16, and we'll start there. And we're going to look at some other scriptures tonight as we have the opportunity, the time, and the leading of the Lord. Let's go to John 16. And I'm going to, you know, we're not having very many Wednesday night services on this month because of the holidays, but I'm going to start a series here on Wednesday night. And it's one I've done, like, it's like two times. So evidently we need to get it, okay? You know, it's like, why do I preach this again? I think I've already done this at least two times. You know, so whatever, you know, we just do what we're supposed to do. Amen. Yeah. You know, so I got over it. I thought, well, you know, maybe we ought to do something else. But, you know, no, he just kept coming back to me. I want you to do this. And I'm going to talk about answered prayer. All right. And particularly tonight, the message is going to be entitled Lifestyle. And we're going to talk about how our lifestyle has an effect on our prayer life. Okay. So you may already have all the notes to this. You may be able to preach it yourself and so forth. But let's, you know, I believe the Lord will give us new enlightenment on this and share some things with us that maybe we've missed the last two times at least that we taught this. I don't know how many times. I know two for sure. But, I'm never shy away about preaching the same thing over and over again because I know I need to hear things over and over again. And so I'm assuming everybody's probably just pretty much like me, maybe a little smarter, I don't know, but you still probably need to hear things again and again and again, amen? So, answered prayer, let's just start John chapter 16, verse 23, and this is Jesus talking. He said, in that day being the day of his resurrection, after his resurrection, that is, after he's raised from the dead, and that day you'll ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So in his name, you know, in other words, God will do it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Now that tells me that Jesus was confident that we could have our prayers answered. Amen. I think sometimes more confident than we are. Amen. You know, you've heard the old saying, you know, somebody said, let's pray. And the other guy said, has it come to that? Well, that's probably where we should have started at, right? You know, and I've been just as guilty as maybe somebody else who, you know, I have an issue and be thinking about it and tossing around my mind. And then my brilliant mind goes off and said, why don't you pray about it? Wow, that's a bright idea. Why don't you talk to somebody that knows more than you do? Amen. You know, I've heard about Rufus Mosley, you know, about what he said. I think Pastor Jerry and I were talking about this a few weeks ago or days ago, whatever it's been, talking about this. You know, Rufus Mosley was praying and laying in the floor and praying and doing all the talking. And he said, and it came to him, here lies a fool doing all the talking to someone who knows everything. So, you know, prayer's not just talking, but prayer's communicating and receiving and hearing back from God. Amen? And so we want to just talk about this a little bit about, you know, answered prayer and about how lifestyle affects your prayer life, you know. And a lot of people don't think about that. You know, we're living in a time that in the church that I've just never seen anything like this that I've seen, and I've been at this for almost 40 years now, and I've never seen anything like this, the lack of living right, the lack of morals, the lack of teaching, and the lack of people. Come on. I mean, just take a look around here tonight. You know, I mean, you know, we used to just almost fill this place up on Wednesday nights, but, you know, people have gotten so distracted and so, pursuing other things that, you know, they don't pursue God any longer. Come on. Amen. You say, well, you don't have to come to church to pursue God. Well, he said you did. And, you know, God didn't give us pastors, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, and I think I missed somebody, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you know, for us to stay home. Amen? I'm not getting on to you. You're here. Amen? Well, I'm making a point. I just never seen anything like this, and I was just talking about this fact about how the church is accepting things that it used to not accept. And God's word hasn't changed. And, you know, it's still, you know, I always said this to people. So I'm okay with everything God's okay with. You know, I don't make the rules up, you know. These aren't like Oasis Church rules. You know, we sat in the back room and thought up these, you know, these guidelines. People are like, well, you know, I just don't like this do's and don'ts. Well, you know, there's a lot of do's and don'ts in the world. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, you do certain things, you'll get in trouble. You don't do certain things, you'll get in trouble. Yeah. Amen. You know, if you go out here tonight and you go out and you decide you're going to go rob a store somewhere, we'll probably have something to do before the night's over, and that's come and visit you, I guess. I don't know. I may stay home and eat pizza and just let you stay there. I don't know. But, you know, but we'll definitely come and check you out sometime and say, what was you thinking? Amen. Because, you know, there are guidelines, there's rules. You know, I like to think of it this way. You know, the things that God said in His Word, it's not to put us in any kind of bondage. You know, people say, well, we're not under the bondage of the law. Well, first of all, let me just say this to you. All God's laws, all of His commandments, they're not there to put you in bondage. The Bible says they're not grievous, they're not burdensome. They're guardrails for your life to keep you from crashing. You know, you get up on a tall building, you know, you kind of want some guardrails there, right? I mean, so you just don't fall off the edge. Amen. And so they're there. You know, you can look, you know, you can get up there and say, I mean, you may be on, a 50-story building and you get up on the top of the thing. I guarantee you there's some kind of guardrails up there on top, you know. We're up there and you're like, that's putting me in bondage. I can't go everywhere I want to go. Well, there's some places you shouldn't go. Amen. And so we're just going to talk about this tonight and about how your lifestyle affects your prayer life. Amen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, 1 John the 3rd chapter, and we'll begin here, and we're going to look at some other things, but I just want to show you from the Word of God about how, you know, lifestyle has something to do with answered prayer. Now that would be, you know, that wouldn't be accepted in some circles today. Some of the teaching that's going on today, they say, well, you know, it doesn't matter how you live, you know, it just matters how Jesus lives. Well, thank God it does matter how Jesus lived, and He is our substitute, He is our sacrifice, but after we get saved, you know, we're supposed to have faith with our works, you know. And, you know, there are things in the Word that we're supposed to live up to. Amen? Amen? Now, let's just look at this. Hallelujah, everybody. Hallelujah. Let's go here to 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Let's just start there. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. So our hearts need to be assured before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. So if your heart's condemning you, how many know God is bigger than all that? And He knows everything. Amen. He knows it all. Amen. And so, God, you know, it's like this story. This isn't really maybe, you know, one of the greatest stories in the world, but I heard it. You know, these Christians went witnessing one night, and they found this drunk passed out in a back alley. And so they woke him up, you know, to share the gospel with him. And they told him, said, we're going to pray for you. He said, oh, please. He said, don't tell God I'm drunk. Tell Him I'm sick. Well, how many know God knows all things, right? And so if our heart condemn us, see, notice verse 20. If our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart, and He knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, see, how many know if you're doing things wrong, it's not God condemning you. It's your own heart condemning you. But if our heart condemn us, verse 21, then have we confidence, verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. See, if our heart's not condemning us, see, then we have confidence towards God. See, that's why I've said this to you before, that, you know, faith and sin don't mix. Sin takes confidence out of you. And if you know, it doesn't mix, you know. And so, you know, a lot of times people will say, you know, we used to argue about this years ago, about once saved, always saved. And people say, well, what sin sends you to hell? Well, it's not a matter of what sin sends you to hell. It's when you lose your confidence and cast away your confidence, which sin will eventually make you do that. Now, he said this,
Verse 21 again, I want you to see this now. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Notice this. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So that verse tells me that, you know, our lifestyle has something to do with whether prayer is answered. And it's not that God, you know, it's not like God is saying, you know, you've ticked me off and I'm not doing anything for you. You know, I've given you the story before. You maybe get tired of my stories, but, you know, I'll have to have some more experiences in life. But, you know, when I was a kid, I was 4 years old, I was laying over the bed and I had two copper wires. How many of you ever heard this story before? And I was getting ready to, I was playing around the outlet there, and Mom came into the bedroom, and the thing she said says, don't you dare stick those copper wires in that outlet. How many know the only reason she told me that was to protect me? And when she left the room, I stuck them in there. I learned. I haven't done it since. I realized Mom was not trying to keep me in bondage. You understand that? And she's trying, yeah, trying to keep me alive. And I've just seen this with people, you know. It's like, well, you're trying to put me in bondage. No, we're trying to set you free and keep you alive. It's like a guy told Dr. Barclay one time, he left his church, you know, and Dr. Barclay saw him in one of the stores in town. And the guy said to him, he said, well, Pastor, since I left your church, he said, I'm free. He said, oh, really? Yeah. He said, what do you know, he said, you had a spirit of control about you. And Dr. Barclay said, well, it must not have been very strong because it didn't work very well on you. You know, some people think that if you preach challenging messages, you know, it's a spirit of control. You're trying to control me. But that's not what God's not trying to control you. He's trying to keep you alive. You understand? And so Dr. Barclay said, so let's see, what are you free from? What are you free from? Well, you're free from living right. You're free to smoke marijuana. I smell marijuana on you right now. You're free to drink. I smell alcohol on your breath. So you're free. You're free to do all those things that's going to bring you in bondage. Yep. Hallelujah. Amen. This wasn't the way I was planning on this going, but it's coming out different anyway than it did the last two times. But anyway, you know, the point I'm just bringing out is this. You know, God doesn't, he doesn't tell us don't do this or do this because he's trying to keep us in bondage or make us nice little model citizens. He's trying to keep us alive. He knows what works and what doesn't work. Right? And so we have to go to his book to find out. We don't go to society to find out anything. We don't go to the world to find out anything. You know, I'm talking about anything that has to do with life. We don't go to the world to find that out. We go to God's word. Amen. Amen. Well, but you know, it's okay now. It's legal now. You know, marijuana is legal now, Pastor. I mean, get over it. Well, it may be legal in some states, but that doesn't mean it's okay for you to put in the temple of God. Well, I'm glad you're saying amen. I think we all got this. I'm not trying to preach to you to not to smoke marijuana. I hope you got that by now. If not, you need to go through membership class or something. I don't know, but you know what I'm saying. I'm just making a point that He doesn't give us His commandments to put us in bondage. He does them to keep us alive. Because he knows what works. Now, here's the thing. If our heart's condemning us, if we're not living the lifestyle that we know the Bible portrays, then our heart condemns us and it hinders our prayer life because we don't have the confidence. Right? Now, you know, this is ludicrous, I understand, but work with me. What if Jesus had ascended right before he went to Lazarus, you know, tomb? You think he'd have had the confidence he had? Of course, we know he never sinned, right? But I'm just making a point. What if he'd have done something? You know, what if he'd have? I don't know. I don't even want to say anything because you know it's almost blasphemy. But the thing of it is, you get the point, right? When he came to Lazarus' tomb, he had confidence. He said, "Father, I thank you. You hear me? I know you always hear me. I'm always saying this because of the people. Lazarus, come forth." I'm thinking, man, I pray more of the offering than he does to raise somebody from the dead. It's been dead for 4 days. This guy's got some confidence. Amen? So can your prayers be hindered? Well, think about it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, Peter told the husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So this is New Testament. Is that right? That's right there in the New Testament. So your prayers can be hindered. I mean, we don't want hindered prayers. Amen? Now go to John's Gospel. We'll go back there to John's Gospel and we'll go to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, John 15. John 15. And I want to read about three verses out of here, and then there's some other things we're going to look at. We'll just go till we're done, and then we'll go home. Is that all right? The Gospel of John, chapter 15, and verse 7 and 8. Let's look at that. Jesus said, if you abide in me, abiding him, that means we're living the lifestyle of the Word of God. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you're walking out the Word of God, the Word's inside of you, and you're living it out. You know, the Word you do is what helps you, right? It's not just the words you know. I mean, you know a lot of Word, but you have to do it, right? And my words abide in you. You'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. I want you to notice how many times you is in these two verses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. So that tells me your prayer life is about you. You listening now? God's already done everything he needs to do as far as providing things, but now it's up to you. Now go down to verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and that you should go and bring forth fruit. So God wants us to produce fruit in our lives and that your fruit should remain. Now notice this. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So he connects this, whatever you ask the Father, and God giving it to you bearing fruit. Are you with me now? He says that, I want you to bear fruit, that whatever you ask the Father, he'll give it to you. So the fruit of your life, how many know when you get saved, the fruit of your life should change? You shouldn't remain the same. If you really got saved, you shouldn't remain the same. Nobody had to tell me a lot of things. I just knew them. I just knew when I got saved. Now, some people do struggle with their flesh, and I understand that. Some people struggle with their flesh, and they don't always, you know, have a clean break of everything. I'm smart enough to know that. But, you know, yet at the same time, there ought to be some fruit where we're seeing some change. And you know what? Guess what? We ought to continue to change. I mean, even though as sanctimonious as you are, as holy as you are, as right next to the Apostle Paul and the Pope you are, you probably still need some growth. I'll include me in there too. Is that all right? So that means we should constantly be changing. We shouldn't be regressing. We should be progressing in our growth. But I'm seeing Christians that are regressing. They're acting more like the world and immature and babies than they used to. I'm thinking, we shouldn't regress here. We should go forward. Amen. Amen. We should grow in our walk with God. We should grow in our righteousness. We should grow in our love walk. We should grow in all these things. But we have to abide. We have to abide in the Word, and the Word has to abide inside of us. Amen. Amen. See, not some other word, but God's Word. Yeah, come on. Amen. God's Word trumps everything. Amen. God's, people say, listen, I read this today and I thought, you know, this poor woman, she's a good person, I can tell. I can just tell by the, but she's a Christian and she is in the media. I mean, she's a media personality, and fairly well-known media personality. I mean, you know, has a big platform, and she's a Christian. And she's a real Christian. She's not a fake Christian. She's a dedicated Christian. But she needs she needs a good pastor in her life to help her. I can just tell by the question she was asking. Because, you know, listen to me. We something's happened in the church that's really bad. We've got to get away from following personalities. There's Hollywood people that get saved. That's great. I'm for that. But we shouldn't be following them. There are musicians and, you know, actors and so forth that get saved. We shouldn't be following them. God gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to be our leaders. Yes. Not these people. They don't have that kind of anointing on them. Right. Now, they may have a leadership anointing in some area, but not to lead the church. And this woman, you know, she really is, I really believe she's a Christian lady that loves Jesus. But she was asking another person in the media who is also a Christian, asking this question, well, how can I be a Christian and have people like me at the same time? I thought, you need a good pastor, lady. Yeah. The only thing you can do is follow the teachings of Jesus, be nice, and not care whether people like you or not, but be true to the Word of God and to yourself. And Jesus said, the world hated me, it will hate you. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You just got to be ready for it, embrace it, and do what the apostles did. They counted it a great thing to be able to suffer for his name's sake. Yeah. Amen. Amen. This is going over big. Hallelujah. All right, Pastor, why don't you go back to Sunday morning's message? All right, you know, talking about, you know, good things. No, this is something we need to know because we can't try to get the world to love us and serve God at the same time. Was there anybody in here that you were in the world before you got saved? Yeah. Somebody said, well, I got saved at 3. Okay. Well, you were in the world till you were 3. Don't think about it. You probably the first word you knew was no. And then the second one was shut up. So it's kind of worldly, you know. No, it's not always worldly, but, you know, the way you were using it was. Think with me. When you were in the world, were you Christians your heroes? No, of course not. Why? Because that's not... Listen, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. In other words, when you're in darkness, you don't the light. I mean, it's offensive. So as Christians, we're to be the light of the world. We're to be the city set on the hill. We're not supposed to dim it so we don't offend it. We're supposed to be bright. I didn't say abrasive. You can still be kind. The Bible talks about kindness. It has a lot to say about being kind. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. So we can still be kind. We don't have to be mean. We don't have to be ugly. But if we compromise, we've helped nobody. Amen. Because people, when their eyes get open, they start going to the light. I think about myself, you know, when my eyes started getting opened, you know, I started going to the light. I started gravitating to the light. I would listen to preachers preach. I'm still smoking marijuana, but it's not Led Zeppelin now, it's a preacher. Now, it wasn't all the time, but I did. I would go into a Bible, I remember going into a Bible bookstore one time to find out, to get me a book on the end times. You know, I didn't know anything about end time. I know very many preachers. I mean, I never heard of some of the preachers I know now, but there's certain popular ones you'd heard of. You'd heard of Billy Graham, you know. And so I went in, I think it was to go buy his book. He had an end times book called The Four Horsemen or something like that. So I was going to go buy his book. So I go into this Christian bookstore. Now, I'm not saved. And you have to understand, when you live like I live, you don't realize how bad you really look. Because you see yourself every day. And you hang around people like that. But this is the God's truth. When I got saved, you know, and I had to get my license renewed, I had my old picture on there, and I gave my license to the, you know, to get my license renewed. I got my license, my old license before I was saved, and I go in there, I'm saved, I got to get them renewed. When the lady sees the picture of me and my old license, I hand them to her, she looks at that picture and says, "That's not you." That's how drastic I had changed. And I said, "Well, yes, it is." She says, "No, it's not." She thought I was trying to give her somebody else's license. I said, "That's me." And here's what she said. This is God's honest truth. She looked at me and she said, "What happened to you?" I said, "Ma'am, that's what happens when the life of God comes into you."
Amen.
Well, she was done asking questions about me. Now, let's just get him out of here. Here's your license, go. You know, because they had, you know, at that time they'd started putting your picture on your license. Show. And so, I'm just saying, so I walked in this bookstore, you know, and I didn't realize how much of a hippie I look like, you know, and when I'm walking in there, and I'm just looking for a book, you know, I don't know where to go, I don't know what to do. I mean, this is a foreign world to me. I don't know what to do in a bar, not in a Bible bookstore. I don't know. So I walk in, I'm looking around, I go, well, you know, there's books, I know to go look books, you know, I got that much sense about me. So I'm looking at books, and this woman, the first thing the woman says, she doesn't say, "Can I help you?" She says, "Are you saved?" That's the first thing she said to me. I thought, you got to be saved to come into a Christian bookstore? I didn't know that. I said, "No, I'm not." She said, "Would you like to be?" I said, "Hey, just sell me a book. If I want to get saved, I'll go find a preacher." And I left. But my point is, see, we don't dim our light. Come on. So the world thinks we're cool. Have you ever seen a 65-year-old guy that tries to dress cool? It's not pretty. Right?
Right.
And I'm not making fun. I hope you don't take this way. But, you know, I've seen guys do that. And I'm thinking, you know, you have too big a belly to wear skinny jeans. You just look like an idiot. Go get some overalls. Look like you're... Well, that offended some people right there anyway, so... You know, now there's very few people that can pull that off when they get older. You know what I'm saying? You know, matter of fact, you know, one particular pastor, pastors a large church, and he decided he was going to be cool so he would be relevant with all the young people. So, you know... He dressed down and started looking cool and all. And finally, his own son, who was over the youth group, said, "You know, Dad," he said, "the youth don't want another youth. They want a pastor." In other words, go change. You just look dumb. Very few people, Ingolf Schmidt can pull it off. I mean, he can wear skinny jeans and he still looks cool. But you're not him. And neither am I. I told you the story one time, him and I going into this restaurant together. This was so funny. You know, we walk in this restaurant together. We walk by this table, and there's a couple younger ladies there, you know. And they're, you know, they're in their 20s, you know. And we walk by. And when we walk by, I hear one of them say, "He is so cute." So I said to Ingolf, I said, "Did you hear that?" She said, "You are so cute." He said, "Pastor Mark, how do you know they weren't talking about you?" I said, "Brother, I know they weren't talking about me." I said, "I look like I just came out of a NASCAR race. You look like you just stepped off a catalog from Europe. They're not talking about me." I like to believe that, but they weren't. Amen. I don't know how we got off on this. Amen. But you know what? Listen, we need to let our light shine, not be dim. It has a lot to do with our prayer life. See, Proverbs 28:9 says, "He who turns his ear from hearing the law, his prayer is an abomination." That's the book of Proverbs. Psalm 66:18, David said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Think about it. So does our lifestyle have something to do with our prayer life? Well, according to those scriptures, it does. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 38. Let's go over there, Isaiah 38. I want to read to you about Hezekiah and his prayer life. Isaiah 38. So we have to realize this. Even though we live in a world that's getting darker all the time, as Christians, the answer to that darkness is not for us to get darker, but for us to let our light shine. Because the darker the night, the brighter the stars are going to shine. And so we need to make sure that we're not just, you know, we're not trying to, because I guarantee you, you can compromise all you want, and all the world sees is a compromising Christian. And that's what I was headed for, and I don't know how I got sidetracked, but if I had of, you know, when I was out in the world and I was doing things, if I just saw somebody that claimed they was a Christian and they were compromising, man, I wouldn't have thought much of that at all. I expected them to be different from me. I was hoping there was something different than the way I was living. I was hoping there was somebody that was free. Amen. I mean, I was hoping that this was real. I found out that it is. Hallelujah. You know, and when I got saved, I just expected, you know, all that old former lifestyle, that's gone. Amen. You know, that's all gone. It's not rules. It's not regulations. It's liberty. It's freedom. Praise God. I have a heart to please my Father. And if He doesn't like something, I don't want to do it. Amen. And so this is, you know, people say, well, you know, there's been Christians that have left the faith, if they ever really were in it, but they've left the faith saying, well, I'm just tired of Christianity and all its rules and all its regulations. Well, the problem is you're just wanting to live in sin. You don't want to live for God. I mean, why don't you submit it? Don't blame it on us. Don't blame it on the church. Don't blame it on Christianity. Just say, I want to backslide and go live for the devil. We understand that. Just go do it. Maybe the sooner the better. It's like Pastor Ron was preaching. You know, when his kids kind of got off, he said, oh, Lord, let them go to the hog pen. Get over there and get it over with. Get them get tired of eating all that junk. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah 38. I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm not going to compromise.
Amen.
I'm going to stick with the Word.
Amen.
It has a lot to do with your prayer life, how you live. Amen. We don't hear this much, you know. I mean, you know, we hear about, you know, faith, which we're going to talk about that in this series, and different things. But, you know, the Scriptures plainly tell us how we live has something to do with whether our prayers are answered.
Yeah.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 38. Got it? It says, in those days was Hezekiah, he's the king, sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. What a prophetic word. How would you like to get that at church some Sunday morning? Pastor, you got a word for me? Yeah, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, you're going to die, not live. Hallelujah. That's not a good word, is it? And then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, and he said, now listen, now pay attention to what he said. He said, remember me now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. What's he doing? He's pleading his case. He has a case here. Now, you know, nobody's perfect. The King James uses the word perfect heart. But I don't know what's the other translation say?
Loyal
heart. All right, some may say blameless, whatever. But what it's bringing out is that his heart was to serve God. I haven't met a Christian yet that's not messed it. All right, let's say I've not met a Christian yet that hadn't sinned. But true Christians don't want to live in sin. They want to please God. You know, sometimes their flesh tempts them, and they let it get the best of them. But then they recover and go back to living for God, right?
Yeah.
Amen. So Hezekiah is pleading his case now. And then, notice this, verse 4. Then, now how many know that verse 1 was the word of the Lord, wasn't it?
Right.
Was it not? Didn't it say the word of the Lord? Okay, it's the word of the Lord. So God can change the word if you change.
Right?
Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus says the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Behold, I will add to thy days 15 years. He pled his case, and he got his prayer answered, didn't he?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Now, you know, I'm going to go back and tell you a story. You know, when Dr. Barclays, when his wife, Miss Vicky, was diagnosed with cancer, she was actually, this was several years now, it's been over 10 years now. But anyway, she was diagnosed with cancer, and the doctor just told them, just plain out, he said, I'm just going to shoot straight with you. This is aggressive cancer. It kills most women. I don't know if we can save her or not. And that was the doctor's diagnosis. You know, he shot straight. You know, he just told them the truth. Thank God for that. So they knew where they stood. And so, but Pastor said this. He said, I heard Vicki praying one night, and she was praying, and she said, Now, Lord, and I can't remember what all she said, but, you know, I mean, she's got grandkids she wants to see grow up. You know what I'm saying? You know, and she says, Lord, if talking about Dr. Barclay, if Mark and I have walked before you, if we've been phonies, then, you know, don't heal me. But we've walked before you. We haven't been phonies. We've been real. She pled her case. Less than 30 days later, she was cancer-free. Thank God they had something to stand on. Now don't read more into that than what I'm saying. I'm not saying we're earning our healing like we're going for God and say, look how good I've been, because when you put your goodness up to His, you're going to lose.
Right.
Hello. But the point is that it does have something to do with our receiving from God. Amen? So we need to know that. Amen? Now let's go to one last scripture over in the book of Acts, chapter 10. Did you get something tonight? See, because these are things that sometimes when you teach on prayer, you don't think about, but lifestyle does matter. You know, I think about, I'm going to find this while you're going there. You don't have to go here, but I'll find it in my Bible. I've got a newer Bible, so all my highlights aren't in there. But it's the same kind of Bible I had, so it's still on the right side of the page. How many understand that? So I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. I've had this leather Flex Bible for 30 years. You need to read more. A friend of mine says this. I like this. He said, if your Bible's wore out, your life won't be. Listen to this. This is Jeremiah 15:1. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind could not be toward this people. Talking about Israel. But now, you know, and I know that's a negative thing, but my thought was, God thought so much of Moses and Samuel that they could just about talk God into anything. Because the way they lived. You know, God was going to kill the whole nation of Israel. I remember that. I mean, Pastor Moses was having problems with the people. Yeah. And they were rebelling and they were complaining and they were murmuring. And finally, God said to Moses, He said, I am going to wipe this whole group out and I'm going to start over with you. And Moses began to plead his case. And God said to Moses, now can you imagine God Almighty saying to you this to you? Let me alone. In other words, get out of my face. How many know most people would book? But Moses had such a relationship with God because of the way he lived, and so did Samuel, that, you know, the Bible said Samuel was an honorable man and not a word he spoke fell to the ground. Come on, are you with me tonight? Our lifestyle has something to do with it. And so God simply, when I read that scripture, I think about, wow, God thought a lot about Samuel and Moses' prayer life. But God, in this instance, He said, I'm so angry with these people that even if Moses tried to talk me out of it, it wouldn't work. Even Samuel tried to talk me out of it. Amen. How many would like your name in there? Right? You know, I remember the first time I preached for Dr. Barclay, he had this on his pulpit, and he has a plaque of all the great men of God that's preached behind his pulpit. And I'm getting up there. It's the first time I've ever preached for him. I'm nervous. He only gave me 10 minutes to get ready, or less, really, probably less than that. He called me while I was in the shower and said, you want to preach this morning? Actually, he talked to Phyllis because I was in the shower. And I called him back and said, you preached this morning? That's just the way he does. He doesn't, you know, give you time. He's just like, hey, you're up. You know, thanks for the warning there. And so, you know, I'm up there and I'm reading this plaque and I'm looking at this. Lester Summerall. R.W. Schombach. Kenneth Copeland. John Osteen. Hilton Sutton. Dr. Mark Pearl. I didn't see that on there. It wasn't on there. It's still not on there. And you know what? You think, man, there were some other men of God. I can't remember who all. Roy Hicks, who was over the Four Square Church denomination, his name was up there. Dr. George Evans, who I think it was Berean Bible College. His name was up there. I'm not sure about the Bible College. I might have that wrong, but I think it might have been Berean. And I'm looking at these names. I'm looking because I know these names. I know these are legends in the church. These are legends in the Word of Faith movement. And I'm thinking, man, what am I doing here? See, I read that scripture. Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, I think, man, these guys are heavyweights that God would say, you know, I don't, even though they had a great prayer life, I'm so miffed I wouldn't even answer their prayer. But I think they had some great standing because, you know, Moses talked God out of destroying the people. God said, all right, I'll pardon according to your word, according to your word. You ask me to, I'll do it. I don't want to. Did you get that?
Yeah.
He didn't want to do it. The Bible says he the King James uses the word repented, or he relented. He changed his mind. And said, okay, since that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. That's a strong prayer life. Hallelujah. But how many know he had the lifestyle that went with it?
Yeah.
Amen. Come on.
Yeah.
Now let's go here to Acts 10 and verse 34. We'll close right here. The Bible says, then Peter opened his mouth and he said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. Now I want you to notice this. God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of lifestyles. You see that? He doesn't respect, so listen, he doesn't care what nation you're from. He doesn't care what color you are. Amen. You know, all this thing about racism and all that. Are you kidding me? We all came from the same, if you run it back, we all came from the same place.
Yeah.
I mean, if you run it back far enough, we all came out of Adam and Eve, right?
Right.
You know, so all came, well, was Adam and Eve black? Are they white? What does it matter what color their skin was? Are you with me now? You know, and really, we need to, in the church especially, we need to get beyond that. And I think most of us are. I think it's the media that's not. But anyway, I am. I mean, I've been over it for a long time. I don't care what color you are. It doesn't matter to me. Matter of fact, why do we have to even think about it? What's it matter? Amen. So God's that way. God's not a respecter of people, but he is a respecter of your lifestyle. His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. That's what Peter said. That's New Testament. But he's no respecter of people, but he is a respecter of lifestyle. So your lifestyle has something to do with it. Amen. You know, whether we're going to, you know, and once again, I'm not saying we're earning things from God, but, you know, it just carries weight in the spirit realm. Amen. It carries weight in the spirit realm. Amen. And so, when we talk about prayer, we talk about answered prayer. A lot of things we can mention. A lot of things we will talk about. But one of the things I want to start out with is the fact that your lifestyle does matter. Don't compromise. Amen. Don't hurt your lifestyle. Don't hurt your prayer life by compromising. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.